God does not speak to us in dreams anymore. Yes, you may have a dream that mimics God's word or biblical principles, but it is not God speaking to you. God speaks to us through His Son, through the revealed word. We have His completed revelation. Don't allow someone to deceive you or your flesh to deceive you.
Well, thanks for joining us for this 4th of July edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. You know, Greg, we at Equipping the Saints are so thankful for the freedom we have to share His word over the airways in our country. So from all of us at Equipping the Saints, we pray that you're having a blessed and safe 4th. Now, Greg, as we continue our study of Genesis, we're going to see a contrast today.
That's right, Dave, and we're going to see a very informative contrast between Esau and Jacob. So would you open your Bibles and turn with us to Genesis chapter 28 as we begin in verse 1.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
The Canaanites were non-believers. They did not believe in the Lord. And so he's saying, go to your mother's family to get a wife. And as we'll see, although Laban was not a very godly man, he knew the God of the Bible. He was a God-fearer. So Isaac is now finally, by the way, with his twin boys, exhorting them rightly concerning who they should marry, at least Jacob. He is exhorting them. He is commanding them to rightly take a wife, not from non-believers, but from their family. Now, we know that Jacob and Esau were about 70 years old at this time, and obviously lifespans were longer, but they were getting shorter. But time has gone by, and we're going to see this affects the life of Esau also, Isaac's sin. Parents, don't wait till your family is destroyed to start doing the right thing. Isaac is doing the right thing, although he's been deceived into it. His exhortation is right, but it's a little late. And I see so many parents who are passive in their advice to their children concerning whom they should marry. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to share the word of God with your children and the consequences of their actions. You see, when they're young, you should be teaching them that they should only marry someone in the faith, that they shouldn't be unequally yoked with non-believers. They will have nothing and do have nothing in common. That they have the right to take a believer as a spouse. They have a right to take a believing wife for husband. You see, no matter what you think, if you marry someone in disobedience to God's word, you're going to suffer. The companion of fools will suffer harm. What did Moses say to the Israelites? The same people that he was writing to here. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Turn there for a second. Deuteronomy 7. We're going to see in a minute that Isaac evidently never shared this with Esau. And now he is sharing it with Jacob. He should have done it a long time ago. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. When the Lord your God shall bring you into the land in which you are entering and to possess it, and shall clear away many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, and you shall defeat them, you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them and show no favor to them. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give them your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. That's just the way it is. When you are a believer and you willingly disobey God's word and marry an unbeliever, that's a serious thing, by the way. It will affect you. It'll affect those around you. It'll affect your children. It'll affect everything. Now, God is gracious. There are some who have been saved in the midst. Obviously, two non-believers. One gets saved. And God is gracious. 1 Corinthians 7. Stay in the relationship unless they leave. 1 Corinthians 7. So then, albeit manipulated by his wife again, Isaac now does the right thing, and he charges Jacob not to take a non-believing wife from the Canaanites, but to take a believing wife from his family. And so then he blesses him, I believe, in accordance to Hebrews 11, chapter 28, verse 3. And may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, Isaac is sharing to his son Jacob, that you may become a company of peoples. May he also give the blessing of Abraham to you and to your descendants with you, that you may possess the land of your sojournings which God gave to Abraham. Here Isaac reaffirms the promises that were made to Abraham and to him by God, and now to his son Jacob. The promise of being multiplied and the promise of inheriting the land. So what happens? Verse 5. Then Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. That's really the context. Jacob is being sent away now by Isaac. He is really ultimately underneath this fleeing a brother who desires to kill him. That's really what's going on underneath this. Now you have Jacob, who seems to be a mama's boy, right? Esau, he was a man of the field, a man of the woods. Jacob seems to be a mama's boy. He's probably never been away from his family, from what we can see. And this is no small journey. This is a 500-mile journey. And by the way, through this, the Lord will accomplish bringing him a wife according to his plan. But this journey is the result of Jacob's sin. We're going to see that this journey results in God disciplining Jacob. We're going to see Jacob, the deceiver, gets disciplined by God through Laban, the deceiver. That he is in the midst of God's disciplinary action, I believe. So Jacob is being disciplined and things are difficult. He has to leave his family. That's pretty serious. He's got to go on a journey by himself to a place he's never been. He's probably looking over his shoulder the entire time for his brother Esau. By the way, Esau's a hunter, a skillful hunter. He's probably looking over his shoulder. Now we have an interesting portion here in verses 6 to 9 where we have a contrast. It seems out of place, but it is in place. Verse 6, now Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take for himself a wife from there. And that when he blessed him, he charged him, saying, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. Here Esau, the godless, immoral faker, the one who was crying over missing the blessing but unwilling to repent, Hebrews chapter 12. Here Esau, this godless, hateful, murderous, immoral man, notices that Isaac blessed Jacob and sent him away to get a wife. And notice he was very aware of the charge, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan, end of verse 6. And he was very aware of Jacob's obedience, verse 7. And Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. So what does Esau do? Verse 8. So Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan displeased Isaac. This is a really sad statement. Esau had married two daughters of Heth. We see that back earlier in the end of chapter 26. We see that, and they were a grief to Isaac and Rebekah. But evidently, he didn't realize that they displeased his father. Isaac had never said anything, evidently. And now it's clear he understands they do displease his father. So what happens? And Esau went to Ishmael. By the way, that's Abraham's son through Hagar. And Esau went to Ishmael and married, this is the middle of verse 8, besides the wives he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth. This is very interesting. Esau, the godless man, is still seeking the blessing of his father apart from repentance. He's trying to do something to mimic the obedience of his brother by going to relatives rather than Canaanites to get a wife. Because Esau, it displeased his father. So he tries this. Now we need to ask the question, why does Moses, inspired by the Spirit, share this at this point? I believe we're seeing a contrast between Jacob, who is obeying here, I believe, from the right heart, and Esau, who is externally doing the right thing, but he is doing it for the wrong reasons, because he's a godless man unwilling to repent. And there may be some of you here today who do the right things. You hear the scriptures. You hear it from your parents. But you're not doing it in the context of repentance. You're doing it for blessing rather than in a right relationship with Christ. So then here we see the context. Because of this whole mess of sin, Rebekah plots a plan to send Jacob away. Isaac, now seemingly walking by faith, charges him, sends him away. Jacob actually obeys in this context, but he's really also in that running from his brother. So with that in mind, what are we to do when we are lonely, when we are struggling, when we are weary, when we are maybe being disciplined by the Lord? Because every one of us will be disciplined by the Lord, by the way. What are we to do? I think we're going to see primarily we need to let the Lord encourage us through His Word. Verse 10, then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he had a dream. And behold, a ladder was set on earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I shall give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And now, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. Here we come to a pretty familiar passage. It's a portion that people call Jacob's ladder. I think we're going to see it's really the Lord's ladder. It's a dream in which God reveals to him some truths that he needs to see in the midst of his circumstances. Jacob is obeying, yet he's on the way to Haran, certainly fearing his brother who's out to kill him. He knows that. And he comes to a certain place and spends the night. You see verse 10, he departed from Beersheba, that's down in the south, the Negev, towards Haran. That's about 500 miles away. It's a long trip. And he came to a certain place and spent the night. We're going to see later on that certain place was Luz, or renamed Bethel. He probably went about 50 miles, and some people say he did it in one day because he was hoofing it from his brother. Some say it was 2 days. I think it's probably 2 days, not sure. And it's nighttime, and he came to a certain place. Notice how it's described there. And spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it under his head and lay down in this place. It's nighttime. He's traveling through Canaan on his way to Haran. He's by himself, probably the first time. It's probably a scary situation. He's fleeing from his brother, the hunter, who wants to kill him. Things are pretty tough right now, and ultimately it's because of his sin. Because of his sin. Maybe things are tough for you because of your sin. First thing you need to do is confess it. But recognize that God does discipline, and His discipline is good. And yet God is gracious. Even in the midst of His discipline, He desires to encourage you that you would not grow weary and give up. So he's at a certain place. Interesting term. The term place is emphasized. He takes a stone, puts it under his head. It's probably not very comfortable. I don't know if you ever had a stone for a pillow. And so here, he's obeying his father. And notice what happens. The Lord gives him a reassuring dream. Verse 12, and he had a dream. And behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Now, before we get into this portion, we don't want to allow those who would deceive and tell us that God speaks to us through dreams these days. We need to realize that God's word contradicts those statements. God does not speak to us in dreams anymore. Hebrews chapter 1. Turn there for a minute. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways. This was one of those many parts and many ways. He spoke in dreams. He spoke in all different ways. He says, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. We have God's completed revelation in the person of Jesus Christ. He says there, in whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he made the world. God spoke in many different forms, in many different manners to the fathers, to the prophets, but now he is speaking through his Son. We have the completed revelation of what God wants us to know. We have the revelation of Christ. We have the completed word. We have this faith which was once for all delivered to the saints, Jude verse 3. This truth which is adequate equipped to equip us for every good work. God does not speak to us in dreams anymore. Yes, you may have a dream that mimics God's word or biblical principles, but it is not God speaking to you. God speaks to us through his Son, through the revealed word. We have his completed revelation. Don't allow someone to deceive you or your flesh to deceive you. But back at this point, God was speaking in many different portions in many different ways. And here he does speak to Jacob in the context of a dream. Verse 12, and he had a dream. And behold, the ladder, back in Genesis 28. The ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. It's very interesting. This word's only used once in the Old Testament, but it could be translated a staircase. We always think of a ladder. It could be translated a staircase. It's a wide staircase, and in this dream he sees the bottom is on earth, and the top is reaching heaven. And behold, we are to look at that, angels of God were ascending and descending on this ladder. So what's the significance of this portion here? Remember, he's all alone. He's running from his brother who desires to kill him. He's going to a place where he's never been. And I think if any one of us were in the same situation, we would probably be scared. We'd be fearful in that situation. Later on, we're going to see that the Lord is at the top of the ladder, and he speaks to him to reassure him of his promises. So what does this ladder represent? Well, on a very basic level, it represents God's intervention through the angelic sphere upon those in earth. Jacob thinks he's alone, but he's not alone. He's not alone. God will share with him that he is with him. And he reveals that he certainly will act in his life. And that his angelic messengers are going up and down. There's a spiritual sphere that Jacob cannot see on his own. And God enables him in the dream to see this sphere. Now, this isn't for us to get focused on angels. They are messengers, as we will see. The focus is not to be on angels. But God does use angels to minister to those who will inherit salvation. There is an unseen world led by the sovereign God that is things going on that we do not see. And God determined that Jacob needed to see this. And by virtue of the scriptures that we need to see it. Angels are created spirit beings. And sometime after the world was created, we have some angels who fell, a third with Satan, Revelation chapter 12. They're called demons. But here we have angels. These are elect angels, those who are holy and righteous, those that do God's will and perform his bidding. Turn to Psalm 103. There's a whole sphere out there that we do not see. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. He's above all. And notice this, verse 20. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Angels obey God's word. They serve him doing his will. And here we have a ladder, which we'll see the Lord at the top in a minute, with angels ascending and descending. They're obviously under God's sovereign hand performing his will, doing his bidding. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1, you don't need to go there, but in Hebrews chapter 1, we know that angels are ministering spirits. Verse 14, sent out to render service to those who will inherit salvation. God's angelic beings that he has created, the ones that have not fallen, the elect angels, they are ministering servants for us in accordance with God's commands. And Jacob is all alone, most likely very fearful, and God is showing him something way beyond himself. Way beyond himself. Certainly this would be an encouragement for him. He's not alone. And so often we think we're alone. We think we're alone, or a situation where we're fearful of, physically speaking, whatever it might be. We don't need to fear anything. God is sovereign over these things. And through the eyes of faith, we understand he is sovereign over all. I believe the latter reveals to Jacob the Lord's unseen intervention on his life. The unseen intervention on his life. We don't look to the angelic sphere. We focus on Christ, and these angels do his bidding and his will. Brothers and sisters, when we are lonely, fearful, discouraged, when we are being disciplined and God's hand is heavy upon us, we need to go to God's word and allow it to illumine our hearts to the unseen realities that God has declared. We get focused on what we see rather than what God has declared in his word, and we need to allow him to renew our minds. Now, what's really amazing in this passage is we have further explanation from the New Testament concerning this ladder, and it should be very encouraging. Turn to John chapter 1, verse 44. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, verse 45, John chapter 1. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also in the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." I love this passage. Philip is sharing Christ. And Nathanael, he's a little skeptical, and he's obviously, as we'll see, a little prejudiced. But notice what happens. Verse 46. And Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Isn't that great? Come and see. Yet Nathanael, he does come. He does come. Verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile." This is an interesting statement. Remember, Jacob would be renamed Israel, and he was a deceiver at many times full of guile, wasn't it? You could almost translate this, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no Jacob." And notice Nathanael's response, verse 48. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you."
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. Esau and Jacob. What a contrast, Greg. Esau is a rank, godless man, and Jacob is a believer, yet he's a scoundrel who God is going to shape and refine through his heavy hand of discipline.
Absolutely, Dave. Esau is an example of the godless who may try to do some seemingly right things for the wrong reason, motivated by earning blessing rather than desiring to please God through obedience. And Jacob, he's an example of a believer who God will use in spite of his sinful ways. Now, the key for us is the reality of whether we belong to Jesus Christ or not. God will complete his work through Jacob, but because of Jacob's stubbornness, he will experience the rough ride of divine discipline and hardship. If you're truly in Christ, he'll carry you across the finish line, but a life of obedience will result in a more satisfying and God-glorifying life on this earth. How about it, friend? Stop resisting God and experience the satisfaction of a life of obedience to Jesus Christ.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.